welcome to the KMXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Brian Benoit. In this week's recap, we hear a lot about food security.
Just to help stimulate local food production and prime the pump to get things going.
That every single day this winter, I'm going to have milk. No barge is going to keep that away.
And then that way that cherry tree has a pollinator, because if you don't have another cherry tree, it won't produce any fruit.
That's coming up.
KMXT is supported in part by the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center, providing support for victims of domestic and or sexual violence. 907-486-6171.
But first, the Kodiak City Council has hired a longtime city management consultant in Anchorage as its interim manager. KMXT's Davis Hovey has more.
Chris Laddick, who was previously the regional administrator for Alaska at the Environmental Protection Agency, rose to the top of the list of four interim manager applicants last month. Councilmember Annika Woods says Laddick mentors other managers in Alaska and is the best candidate for the Kodiak job.
In my opinion, Chris had the strongest application by far, and he interviewed the best. I thought his answers were the most thorough.
The City Council unanimously agreed to move forward with Laddick over a previous finalist for Kodiak City Manager job, the former mayor of the Kodiak Island Borough, and a former interim manager in Bethel. The council publicly interviewed each of them on November 20th. During Laddick's interview, he told the council he does not plan to be in Kodiak full-time. He said he'll fly in for a couple weeks each month and work remotely the rest of the time.
I do have other clients, and I do have things going on, but I managed EPA from a living room in Magnolia during COVID. I had three $1 billion-plus projects going on. I'm not saying it's easy, but it can be done with the right people on the island.
After the interviews, several council members expressed their reservations about the amount of time Laddick would spend in Kodiak, but still agreed he was the best candidate for the interim manager job. The City Council is slated to approve his employment agreement at its regular meeting on Thursday. Based on city code, Laddick would be the interim manager for at most 9 months, or until a permanent manager is hired, whichever comes first. The last permanent city manager, Randy Robertson, was only on the job for 7 weeks. Deputy City Manager Josie Banky has been the acting city manager since November 1st and requested the council hire an interim manager as soon as possible. And for transparency, KMXT employee Terry Haynes is also the Kodiak City Mayor, who presides over the City Council. As KMXT's morning host, Haynes makes editorial decisions about what airs in local newscast. He did not edit or review this story before it was published. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
And an entangled whale was found dead near Kodiak earlier this month. Scientists believe it was caught in some kind of old fishing gear. And KMXT has this report that it's at least the 13th dead humpback reported around the archipelago this year. Humpback whales are a common sight around Kodiak's waterways, often reported breaching and splashing near fishing boats. But sometimes, like earlier this month, they're reported entangled or dead. Matt Vandale, the Shunack Tribe of Kodiak's Natural Resources Director, was one of the responders in mid-November. He's been training for years to help save entangled whales, but this one likely died about a week before it was reported.
She was about 28 feet long, had a pretty massive, severe entanglement. The entanglement was probably initially a line that she got through her mouth and was not able to free herself, and then started spinning, and she had three or four wraps around her tailstock.
Vandale and officials from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and Alaska State Parks found the whale stuck to the bottom of the water. She was found with several cuts around her body from the line, some 6 inches deep. Humpbacks can generally hold their breath for up to 45 minutes. Vandale says it likely died from a mix of exhaustion and drowning. The team didn't do a full necropsy. However, he estimated it was just a year old when it died.
It's really frustrating and a bummer that she wasn't spotted while she was still alive, because she would have been a perfect candidate to attempt a disentanglement.
Vandale and the other biologists removed the gear, but it wasn't immediately clear what type of fishing it was used for.
The main thing right now is just trying to figure out what this gear is and where she may have encountered it.
The metal is heavily rusted and tangled, so there's a lot of uncertainty. He brought some fishermen in to try to identify it. The leading guesses are longline gear or some sort of derelict pot. Vandale says there is a silver lining, though.
It did give the Kodiak team excellent opportunity to practice with whale disentanglements. albeit on a dead one, but it was very good, safe, controlled situation.
He says any entangled marine mammals should be reported to the federal government's hotline or directly to the tribe for them to start working with federal officials. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Vanois. And as a quick reminder, the 24-hour marine mammal stranding hotline is 1-877-925-7773. Looking towards some fisheries news, Port Lions residents got a special delivery of salmon fillets in late November. The Kodiak Archipelago Leadership Institute donated about 850 pounds from a Kodiak fishing family to the archipelago community of roughly 150 people. KMXT's Davis Hovey was there for the distribution and has this report.
14 silver and 12 reds.
Okay. One.
In the parking lot of the Native Village of Port Lions office building, Joe Kewen counts out 26 individually frozen salmon fillets and one head of garlic into a tote bag. Then he delivers them door to door in his hometown of Port Lions. He's got pages of names in a checklist on his clipboard.
Nancy, Marvin, there's so many Nelsons here. Holy, there he is, Arn Nelson. Yep. All right, Shaw's next.
Within a few hours or so, he had visited most of the 64 households on that list. Kewen says he knows where everyone lives, who's home, who's out of town, and who might be just taking a nap.
She remembers me, though. She hasn't forgotten me yet, though. I think hanging out here as a kid all the time helped her remember. We usually listen sometimes, too, because it'll say, come in. She might be taking a nap.
Max Lyons is the new program director for the Kodiak Archipelago Leadership Institute. He says this fish distribution is possible through a federal Department of Agriculture program.
A big supporter of it has been our local food purchasing assistance agreement with the state. So that's helped cover the cost of transport and admin time and also purchase the fish directly from the Ivanoffs for distribution free of charge.
The Ivanoffs, as in the fishing family that runs Ivanoff Seafood in Kodiak. The Institute bought the frozen fillets from the Ivanoffs in Kodiak, then flew the fish to archipelago communities via Island Air's bush planes. Cali, the Institute, is a contractor the state uses to purchase produce, goods, and food from six farms around the archipelago with USDA funds. Lyon says the Institute got roughly $250,000 over 3 years to use among Kodiak Archipelago communities. He says buying the fish locally is part of the USDA program's goal to bolster local food security.
Just to help stimulate local food production and prime the pump to get things going. So it's been a great assistance. It's at this point not a long-term program, but it's been great for the communities, the impact it's had over the last 3 years.
Port Lions was the final community out of three around the archipelago that received fish donations from Cali this year. The Institute hopes to provide another fish distribution next year before the federal funding sunsets for the Institute at the end of 2026. Statewide, the USDA committed nearly $14 million of federal money to tribal governments in Alaska, in addition to another $1.5 million to the State Division of Agriculture for this food assistance program over the course of 3 years. Reporting in Port Lions, I'm Davis Hovey.
And still in food news, for years, Kodiak residents and farmers have been growing small fruit trees in their greenhouses, but now that effort has spread in earnest to communities around the archipelago. KMXT's Davis Hovey recently toured the farm in the community of Port Lions and has this story.
And hardcore. Yes, we hear you.
Inside one of the plastic tarped hoop houses on the Port Lions farm, there are some common staples growing in raised beds like broccoli, rhubarb, and various herbs. But in the second hoop house, there's mainly only one thing growing in the center, fruit trees.
So this is a cherry tree, and the cherry trees that came with this one died, so it's the only one.
Joe Kewen, the assistant farm manager, says the Port Lions farm bought multiple cherry trees online and shipped them in from Maine months ago. But he suspects during the long journey and because of poor shipping and handling, only one survived.
Next spring, we'll order two more and put them here and there. And then that way that cherry tree has a pollinator. Because if you don't have another cherry tree, it won't produce any fruit.
Aside from the new cherry tree, the community farm in the village of Port Lions is also growing five apple trees. Each tree stands about 5 feet tall, with space between each slim trunk in the middle row of the soil bed. None of them have produced fruit yet, as they were just planted in the spring.
They're all semi-dwarf, so they won't get so big. Mm-hmm. And I think that one's a Honeycrisp, a crab apple, coastal star, and then Fuji, the one on the end of Fuji.
The fruit trees are surrounded by strawberries in potters, which Kewin says will be transplanted into the garden soil. Port Lions is not the only community focusing on fruit. Yuzinki, a roughly 15-minute flight north of Kodiak, planted dozens of apple trees this year that came from a local fruit tree farmer living on a different part of the island. Max Lyons is the program director for the Kodiak Archipelago Leadership Institute, which oversees the community farms in Port Lions and Yuzinki. He says both have planted more fruit trees in the last couple years as part of the larger effort to produce more locally grown food for the future.
Fruit production is definitely, at least for trees, you're planting, we really always say, for the next generation. You know, so trees are something, they live for a long time. They take a while to grow and start producing. So it's something that you don't see maybe immediate return on.
Over time, he says the fruit from those trees can provide for decades. Right now, Port Lions, Yuzinki, and the community of Old Harbor on the southeast side of the island all have fruit trees in various stages of growth. According to Lyons, the Sikkalidik Sunrise Farm in Old Harbor planted 75 apple trees outdoors in the last couple of years to see how an apple orchard would fare. Kodiak Island does not exactly have the ideal conditions for growing fruit trees in the outdoor environment, so Lyons says the Institute and the archipelago's farms have been learning about best practices from fruit tree growers on the Kenai Peninsula. Meanwhile, Lyons estimates it will likely take 2 to 3 years before there is fruit hanging on the trees at the Port Lyons farm for local residents to eat. Reporting in Port Lyons, I'm Davis Havi.
And while we're still talking about food, one small farm in Kodiak is embarking on a new mission, providing all the milk from one of its dairy cows to local families in need. KMXT's Davis Havi reports once more, talking with a dairy farmer about how it works and how it's going to be funded.
That's the sound of Kodiak farmer Kelly Foreman pouring gallons of milk that came from her dairy cows into glass bottles.
But milk is such an incredibly nutrient-dense, very simple thing for kids. Like, a kid can open up the door of the refrigerator, pour themselves milk, and you're good to go.
Later, her two sons will deliver the bottles to local families in need, about 42 gallons a week. Foreman, who is both a farmer and the executive director of the Kodiak Baptist Mission, calls it milk on a mission.
I also know that every single day this winter, I'm going to have milk. No barge is going to keep that away. No shortages. I know for certain we are going to have this milk. And further, I know that it's the very best quality milk, that full fat, good milk.
She hopes to donate more milk to more people once her third dairy cow is ready to start milking in mid-December. Then Foreman said she'll donate all of that cow's milk throughout the course of 2026, roughly 2,100 gallons a year. By mid-year, she could scale up even more.
Obviously, a cow is going to have a calf. We're going to have three cows having milk. And come June, that another cow's going to, like, she's going to have a calf.
Which means a fourth milking cow. And cows can be expensive, especially the feed, the equipment, and the glass jars to bottle the milk in. All of this factors into the final cost of the milk that Foreman is going to give away for free. So, Foreman says she is targeting philanthropic donors or business owners that might have deeper pockets to finance this mission. Her goal is to raise $52,000 by December 15th, when the third cow, Ellie May, should be ready to start milking. Earlier in November, $5,000 was already donated from donors off-island to pay for the Kodiak cow's milk. Foreman hopes this will encourage other nonprofits around the country to team with local farmers in their communities to provide milk or food, too.
And always it's been that I really would like to help motivate other people, too. You know, it's never been my goal just to serve Kodiak, you know, and that's part of Kodiak Baptist Mission. I hopefully want to help inspire other people.
Right now, Foreman provides milk to people mainly by word of mouth. To sign up to receive milk or for more information about Milk on a Mission, go online to KodiakBaptistMission.com. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Havi.
And a last story for the podcast, looking forward a bit, Kodiak's Chamber of Commerce is bringing a home show and expo back to the island community for the first time in decades. I prepared this report that the goal is to promote housing resources. Home shows are usually an opportunity to promote home building and renovations, as well as housing-focused organizations to gather ideas and share services. And according to Ellen Silmianoff, the executive director for Kodiak's Chamber of Commerce, there hasn't been one on the island in over 30 years. She says she went to a few off-island ones early this year and got the idea to host one in Kodiak.
Housing is a critical issue in Kodiak, and this is one of the things that we can do, you know, hopefully to help generate business, home improvement projects, and provide access to people, you know, to our residents for all things housing.
The chamber announced vendor registration opened on Tuesday. The team is planning to have a range of attendees from contractors and builders to realtors and government organizations like the Kodiak Island Housing Authority. The goal is to have resources for everyone, including homeowners, renters, and landlords alike. Semyonov says she's also working with builders and suppliers across Alaska and in the lower 48 that would send people or ship materials to the island.
I talked with a couple of people at that Seattle Home Show about the possibility of coming. The one gentleman also does the Fairbanks Home Show. And, you know, there's people on the Kenai Peninsula.
Erica Thompson is the Chamber's Partnership and Events Executive. She says it's also a way to promote smaller businesses and startups, especially for tradespeople.
If we could see who all is here, who all provides the different services, then, you know, more homeowners or landlords or renters could learn of other options.
And unlike other expos the Chamber hosts, like the annual commercial fishing event Comfish, there aren't any forums planned for the upcoming home show. But Thompson says if it goes well, housing discussions could be on the table.
We're just still getting our feet under us and trying to just organize the expo part, but this could grow and develop.
The chamber is accepting vendor applications now, and the home expo is slated for the last weekend of February. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
The Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center is committed to offering safe shelter and resources to victims and their children fleeing domestic violence and/or sexual assault, including the use of a 24-hour crisis line. KWRCC is open to individuals of any gender who need anonymous support from a trained advocate. The crisis line is available at 907-486-3625.
And if you enjoy this podcast and want to support local news centered around the Kodiak Archipelago, make sure to donate to KMXT. Just go on our website at kmxt.org and click the donate button in the top right corner of the page. This is my last time hosting the weekly wrap, at least for some time. I'm recording this on my last day at KMXT. Thank you to everyone in the community for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And I hope that you continue to help KMXT be the best version of itself. That's it for this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap. For the last time for a while, again, I'm your host, Brian Venois. We'll be back next week. Davis will be taking over for the foreseeable future. Thanks for tuning in.